Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. It's page 1424 in your Freedom in Christ Bible. This letter to the Hebrews is an interesting letter in that as much as folks have studied it, they haven't come up with who the author is. They know it's a letter written to the Hebrews, and it's written during a time where the Hebrew church was being persecuted, and really they were wondering, should we keep pressing on? There was persecution. Some of them were being thrown in prison. In fact, if you turn in your Bibles later on when you go home, you can turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, and you'll see some of the suffering. 33 and 34 says even their stuff was being confiscated. And God, in His grace, said, let me tell you something. And this is what He told them. Therefore, verse 14, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. May God bless the reading of His word. Let me pray. Father God, this is Your word. We are Your people. Father, open us up. Let Your word penetrate. In fact, make Your word penetrate our very being. Father, we want to be hearers and doers of Your word. Father, take me away. And Lord, come, speak to us. We ask in Your Son's name. Amen. You know, I just want to go verse by verse, and I want to start at verse 14. And I want to say, hey, what's going on there in verse 14? Since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens. And I ask the question, what's going on? What's the deal? Why does he say that? Well, in all of Hebrews, he's making this case. Okay, he's telling people like you and I, hey, get with the program. Gave your life to Christ, don't, you know, stay firm. And he says, why? Because these Judaizers, these Jewish folks, who non-Christian Jewish folks who are saying to you, listen, give it up. Give it up. This Jesus thing, you know, it's too much work. Let's go back to the old way. And what was the old way? The old way was we had a human flesh high priest who would go once a year and he'd go in and he'd offer a sacrifice on behalf of the people. And that was it. And I imagine that by this time, these Jewish leaders were going, and in the meantime, until next year, you know, forget this following Jesus stuff. Look it. Come over here. Don't you feel that today? Don't you feel it today? Aren't people kind of saying, it's nice outside today. It's a weekend. It's a holiday. Why are you going to church? Come on. Come on. Come on. And the writer to the Hebrews is saying, hold the bus. Hold on. Literally, hold on to the faith. Hold on to the fact that you said yes to Jesus. And then he goes on to say, you know why? Because you no longer have this fleshy dude who has to actually sacrifice for himself before he can sacrifice for you, who has to have a rope tied around his ankle in case when he goes to the Holy of Holies, he's not right. And we got to pull him out. You know, I have one of these funny minds, right? So I picture this, right? He goes in. And they're outside kind of waiting. And this time he's not right. But they don't know that. So they're just kind of waiting. Maybe a day goes by. I don't know. I'm exaggerating, I know. But imagine that. Imagine this guy was going in to bring, to make you right before God. And he passed away because he wasn't right. And they want to go back to that system. The people are saying, come on, let's go back to that system. Let's go back to humans taking care of business for us. The writer to the Hebrews saying, no, no, no. See, we have a great high priest. A great high priest. Nowhere in the Old Testament is the priest called a great high priest. Because in this case, it's referring, and it tells us later on, to Jesus. We have a great high priest. Don't fall for that mess. Look, look. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens. Okay? Listen. Our high priest doesn't have to go into the Holy of Holies over there. He is Jesus, and he went right through the cross to the throne room. And he's there interceding on our behalf 24/7. Yes. Yes. You know what, guys? We do have to have excitement about that. Because we have someone who is sitting with God the Father, who is interceding on our behalf, who became that sacrifice for us. That's an amazing thing. Because look, keep looking. You have your Bibles open, right? Jesus, the Son of God. That's who it is. It's there. So he says, hold on! Don't fall for that mess. I've set you free from that. Hold on to who? Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Okay? So imagine you're a boat getting slapped upside the head. Boom, boom. The waves are coming back and forth. And somebody says, abandon ship! Jump! The writer to the Hebrews says, hold on. Hold on. Yeah, hold on. Keep looking at the scripture with me. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Look, look, folks. Our high priest knows our stuff. Our high priest knows exactly what's going on. You know, when we're getting slapped again, yeah, we all have those moments. He knows. Why? Because he's Jesus. You know, we at Christmas time have these manger scenes all set up. And we say, baby Jesus. And I think sometimes we disconnect after Christmas. Jesus came as a child. So think about that. The God of the universe, and Elton talked about this last week, the God of the universe took on flesh. But he didn't come in as a mighty warrior. He came in as a tiny child. So think about that. He suffered as a child. He was flesh, just like you and I. Things around him probably got ugly. People probably poked at him. Remember, he wasn't the prettiest of dudes. Somebody probably started messing with him when he was five and saying, "Ugh, whose kid are you anyway?" You know, the same things we have going on. Now, obviously, Jesus did not suffer all of it in terms of like, well, you know, there were some things he didn't do. He just, you know, he was never a parent. Okay? But as far as the temptations that we encounter day in and day out, he encountered them. And we see things like that. We see, you know, one of his followers, Peter. What's Peter do? Jesus says, "I'm going to die." Uh-uh! No! Tempting what? Jesus to get off course. I mean, we see him praying, "Lord!" Interpretation by Cisco, "I want to give up now. Take this cup." What is that? Human. See, the point is that this is a God like no other God. Our God is a God like no other God. He knows. You know, when you're suffering, he knows. And he knows firsthand. You know, he didn't read it in a book. Okay, he didn't imagine it. He experienced it. That should give us confidence. See, because we're not going to someone who is unaware. We're going to Jesus, who came as a little baby, took on flesh, and took on all the temptations that we have. You know, he knows our weakness. And he knows our temptations. That's the God that we serve. You know, the Bible's clear. He was tempted in every way. Every way. Maybe not every specific temptation. But in every way, he was tempted. And he sinned not. And I want to focus on that. He didn't sin. Now, some of us right now, as soon as we say, "He didn't sin," well, then he really don't know. Uh-uh. Then he's not all that. Well, think about what you're saying. Think about it. Does it take a whole lot of energy to give in to temptation? The last time you were tempted to do something and you just went ahead and did it, how much energy did that take? None. That's right. You know, when you were going to do that thing that you weren't supposed to do and you looked around and let's see. Okay, let me do it. It doesn't take anything. But think about, what does it take to continuously resist the devil? Day in day out for 33 years. Day in, day out. He faces the same challenges we face. And he says, uh-uh, not going to go there. We have an example of him being tested in the wilderness by the devil himself. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen the devil personally tempt me. Now, he may have, but, okay, the devil came to him and tempted him face to face. And he said, uh-uh. He held on to the word of God. That's who we serve. That's who the writer to the Hebrews is saying, hey, wait a minute. Don't go with the world. Don't go back to the old way. You know how when we get pressed, the first thing we do is try to figure out how to do it from our old stuff? Yeah, you know, let's take, you need some money. And this is a personal example. You know, I've been there to the point where I needed money. And you know, back in the day, I could get money. And you know what happened? For a moment, I entertained the old lifestyle. And what were some of the thoughts? It's easy. Nobody will know. Jesus is saying, No. The writer to the Hebrews is saying, no. Hold on to your faith. And look at why. Let us then approach the throne of grace. And I love the throne of grace. Hold on to your faith. Okay? Hold on to the fact that you said yes to Jesus Christ. And come to the throne. You know, I picture it. A little bit like this, you know, we have God and we have Jesus. And just like the world says to us, come on back. Come on back. You don't want, I mean, this church thing, come on. I mean, this lovey-dovey stuff. Come on back. Okay? Jesus is saying, come over to the throne room. Come over here. Come here. I'm interceding on your behalf. And this throne is not a throne of judgment. See, because that's the other thing. The world say, you messed up. You're going to get it. The writer to the Hebrews is saying, come on. I understand what it is to be tempted. I understand what it is to struggle. No matter how big the struggle, no matter how small, bring it. Bring it. Bring it to the throne room. And receive what? Look at what it says. Look down. What's the first? Mercy. That's right. Mercy. Receive mercy. It does not say, and we're going to knock you out. Come over here so you can get yours. No. The first thing, throne of grace. And the very first thing is to receive mercy. Mercy. And why? Remember what we read in verse 14? Because Jesus, the high priest, is sitting up there interceding. Because Jesus, the high priest, became nothing for us. So whatever it is, whatever the mess up, he says, come on. Come on. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to it. Why? Because you know what? God knows. He knows. And he calls us in our messed up state to come right to the throne room. Now think about that. You know, I just sat there thinking about this and I'm going, okay, what's a picture? It's kind of like you did something against the United States and the president calls you in. And instead of saying, okay, we're going to send you off to Guantanamo Bay or something, okay, he says, come on, come on. In my office, you find grace. You find mercy. And look at the last piece, because the last piece, it's important. The last piece talks about what? Grace to help us in our time of need. See, there's this counterfeit deal over here. It's what we used to do. Some of us are still doing it right now. And it's, I'll figure it out. I'll work it out. Nobody understands. In fact, you just don't know. And then there's God over here saying, I understand. Come and we'll work it out. Come and we'll work it out. How do you react to that? Think about it. Think about the worst sin. Think about your biggest struggle. Now, by the way, I'm not saying that there aren't consequences. I'm saying there's grace. But think about it. When we are at our worst, when we are afraid, and you know how we get, we isolate. When we're afraid of talking to anyone about our stuff, that's the very time that Jesus is saying, come here. Come on into the throne room. And what's significant is that we can do it. You don't need a priest. You don't need a pastor. You know? You don't need your mama. You don't need your daddy. You just come. And so this morning, I want to take a little time to invite you to come. Just to come. And you know what it is. And by the way, I'm with you. I struggle just like anybody else. Whatever that struggle is, I want you to bring it. Bring it before the cross. And so I'm going to give us some time to just do that. I'm going to pray, and then I invite you to come up. And just share it. And share it knowing, share it with the confidence that God is a God of grace, that God is a God of mercy, that God understands what it is you're going through. Let me pray. Father God, for some of us, it's hard to even acknowledge that we struggle, that we're tempted. Somehow we see that as weakness. But yet you invite us to come as we are to your throne room. To come with our needs and experience your grace. Experience your mercy. Lord God, help us bring stuff to mind. And help us to bring it to you this morning. In Christ's name. Amen.